Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something really fundamental. It's all about ethics in the insurance world.
Yeah, we've got materials here that agents actually use for their ongoing professional education. So we're digging into their responsibilities, their, guiding principles.
Exactly. And this deep dive, it's really for you if you're curious about, the ethical structure of an industry that's so based on trust. Financial security, too, of course.
We're going to try and unpack the core values, look at the challenges insurance pros face, get some insight into a system that impacts pretty much everyone.
That's the plan. Our mission, really, is to pull out the absolute key knowledge on insurance ethics, maybe find some surprising stuff, and just give you a clear picture of the principles involved without all the technical speak.
Right, trying to avoid the jargon overload. And the source material actually introduces this idea. They call it the insurance ethics multiverse. Kind of catchy.
Huh? Multiverse. Okay.
Yeah, we'll use that framework to sort of explore all the different facets, the dimensions of ethical practice in insurance.
All right, let's jump into this multiverse. Starting right at the beginning, what are insurance ethics really, like in practice?
Okay, so at its core, it's about the moral principles, the values that should guide how people make decisions and act in the insurance business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to get this. It goes way beyond just, following the law.
Right. It's not just ticking boxes.
No. Ethical conduct is about really honoring that trust clients put in you.
Makes sense. I saw one source mention a quote attributed to Justice Potter Stewart. Something about rights versus what's right.
Yeah. Ethics is knowing the difference between what you have a right to do and what is right to do. That's the one.
How does that fit into insurance specifically?
It fits perfectly. An agent might be legally allowed to do something, technically within the rules.
Okay.
But that action might not actually be the ethically sound thing for their client. It shows why you need that strong internal compass going beyond just the legal minimums.
And these ethical pros, the source calls them ethical defenders, right?
Yeah.
They seem to operate by a specific code. What's in this ethical defenders code?
Yeah, it outlines these key values they commit to. It lists integrity, loyalty, fairness, competence, confidentiality, professionalism, and compliance.
Okay, quite a list.
Each one's pretty crucial for keeping things ethical and building that trust we talked about.
Let's break those down. Integrity. What does that mean day to day for an agent?
Integrity is basically honesty, strong moral principles, even when it's tough or maybe less profitable.
Like how?
Well, the source gives an example. An agent tells a client about a policy limitation. Maybe it means they won't buy the policy right then.
Ah, risking the sale.
Exactly. But they do it because not telling them could leave a huge gap in their coverage later. That's integrity putting the client's real needs first.
Okay, and loyalty. Seems obvious, client first. But what does that actually involve?
It means genuinely putting the client's best interests ahead of your own, like commission-wise.
So recommending a cheaper policy sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. If a less expensive policy with a lower commission is actually a better fit for the client's situation, the loyal agent recommends that one. It's about their benefit, not the agent's wallet.
And fairness, how does that show up?
Fairness means treating every single client equitably. No discrimination.
Regardless of policy size.
Absolutely. Same high level of service, same attention. Whether it's a massive policy or a small one, everyone deserves respect and thorough service.
Competence. Okay, knowing your stuff. But it sounds like it's more than just passing the test once.
Oh, definitely. Competence requires this ongoing commitment to learning, to keeping your skills sharp. Insurance changes constantly, products, rules.
Right.
So ethical agents are always learning, going beyond just the minimum CE credits, to make sure they give good, accurate advice.
Confidentiality. Standard for finance, but any insurance twist.
Well, it's about guarding all that sensitive client info super carefully. Financial details, sure, but also health information, personal stuff.
And with everything digital now.
Exactly. Protecting that data is a massive ethical duty.
Professionalism. That feels a bit broad. What are the key bits there?
It covers a lot, yeah. Conducting business with dignity, respect. Being on time, communicating clearly, getting back to people promptly, basically maintaining high standards in all your dealings. It builds trust.
Got it. And the last one, compliance. Following rules, but there was a nuance.
Yeah, compliance means sticking to all the laws, regulations, industry standards. But the key is doing it even when no one's looking.
The internal commitment.
Right. It's about doing things the right way because it is the right way, not just because you might get caught. It holds the whole system together.
So these are the core values.
Yeah.
Why are they so critical in insurance specifically? What makes ethics non-negotiable here?
It's the bedrock, because the whole industry runs on trust. Clients trust agents with complex products that protect, you know, everything important, their homes, their families' futures.
And there's that knowledge gap you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Yes. Information asymmetry. The agent usually knows way more about the policies than the client. That gap creates this huge ethical weight on the agent's shoulders.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
The source also mentioned a timing disconnect. What's that about ethically?
Right, the timing disconnect. You pay premiums now.
For protection you hope you never need.
Exactly. But you absolutely expect it to be there if, you know, disaster strikes, maybe years down the road. Unlike buying a TV, the payoff isn't immediate.
Mm-hmm.
It might only come during a really tough time. So the ethical obligation is to sell coverage now that will actually work then.
The scenarios in the source are helpful. Let's look at scenario one, the invisible exclusion. What went wrong?
Okay, so in this one, you've got Agent Clarity selling homeowners policy. It doesn't cover flood damage, a big exclusion.
Okay.
But Agent Clarity just kind of casually mentions water damage is covered without really highlighting the flood part isn't.
Oh, dear. I can see where this is going.
Yep. The client's house gets flooded later. They think they're covered because, hey, water damage.
And they weren't.
Devastated. No coverage. Felt totally misled. Huge financial hit. Trust completely gone.
So, ethically, where did Agent Clarity mess up?
Well, lack of transparency, basically. Didn't give the full picture about a major limitation. Probably prioritized making the sale easy over making sure the client truly understood.
So dishonesty. Or maybe incompetence.
Could be either or both. But definitely failed on integrity and fairness. Didn't ensure the client knew what they were buying or not buying.
And the ethical alternative. Agent transparency, the source calls them. What would they do?
Agent transparency would have been crystal clear about major exclusions, especially flood. They'd explain the difference like burst pipe water is covered, rising river water isn't.
Proactive.
Totally. And seeing the client live near a river, they'd probably say, hey, you really should look into separate flood insurance for full protection.
I like that tip from Agent Visual in the source using drawings, like showing water coming in versus water coming up.
Yeah. Simple visuals can make a world of difference for understanding complex stuff.
And that NAIC stat misunderstanding coverage is a top complaint.
Wow. It really drives home why clear communication is so ethically vital for agents.
Okay, so when agents face these tricky ethical spots, is there like a process, a framework to help them decide?
Yes. The source lays out the ethical decision-making framework. It's a step-by-step guide to help navigate these situations and make, you know, sound moral choices.
Walk us through it. What are the steps?
Okay, first, identify the actual ethical issue. What's the dilemma?
Step one.
Step two, gather all the facts. Get the full picture.
Okay.
Three, think about your obligations to the client, the company, everyone involved, your stakeholders.
Right.
Four, evaluate your options. What could you do?
Brainstorming alternatives.
Yep. Five, assess the consequences for each option, good and bad.
Thinking it through.
Six, make the decision based on that analysis.
Seven.
Seven, reflect, look back at how it went, what you learned. Helps you do better next time.
That sounds really solid, actually. Practical.
It is. And that point from Ethics Professor Morgan framework is interesting.
Yeah, that dilemmas often hide as practical problems.
Exactly. They don't always scream, I'm an ethical issue. Sometimes they look like just a business challenge. This framework helps you peel back that layer and see the ethics underneath.
So using the framework helps agents spot and handle those hidden ethical dimensions.
Precisely. Makes them better equipped to deal with the complex stuff they face.
Okay, we've got the ethical foundations. Now let's talk regulations. How do laws and government rules fit into enforcing ethics in insurance?
Regulations are like the essential guardrails, legally binding ones. Their main job is protecting consumers from unfair stuff and keeping the whole market stable and trustworthy.
Setting the baseline.
Exactly. They define what's legally acceptable conduct for companies and agents.
What about key federal laws? Any big ones impacting insurance ethics?
The source points out a few. Gramm-Leach-Bliley, or GLBA, that's about handling private consumer info, data security.
Okay.
HIPAA, which everyone knows, protecting health information privacy. And the Unfair Claims Settlement Practices Act basically says insurers can't use dodgy tactics when handling claims.
And state-level rules. It sounds like that's where a lot of the action is in insurance.
Oh, hugely. Insurance is mostly regulated state by state. Each state has its own insurance department, its own commissioner.
Doing what?
They oversee agent licensing, watch how companies behave in the market, market conduct, tackle unfair trade practices, and set continuing education rules like the stuff we're looking at today. State regs are critical for ground-level ethics.
But it's not all government, right? The industry polices itself, too.
Correct. There's self-regulation. Professional groups like NAIFA, the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors, they have codes of ethics members follow.
Uh-huh.
And getting designations like CLU, Chartered Life Underwriter, or CIC, Certified Insurance Counselor, usually means committing to specific ethical standards to keep the credential.
Let's look at the next scenario. Scenario two, the regulatory maze.
Yeah.
What happened there?
So this agent, Perplexed, gets a new rule from the state about how to disclose info in life insurance illustrations, like the projections.
Okay, a new directive.
Yeah. But Agent Perplexed felt it was complicated, maybe didn't want to change things, and just kept doing sales the old way. Figured it was fine before, it's fine now.
Uh-oh, and that backfired.
It did. Months later, a client complaint comes in. They bought a policy based on the old style illustration.
And the actual cash value wasn't growing like they thought it would.
Exactly. They felt the potential values were misrepresented because the illustration wasn't following the new, clearer rules.
So ethically, Agent Perplexed just ignored the new rule.
Pretty much. The core failing was not adapting to the regulatory change, didn't take the time to understand it, kept using outdated methods, and that led directly to misleading the client. Breach of trust, poor outcome.
How would the ethical agent, Agent Compliance, handle that new rule?
Agent Compliance would make understanding that new rule priority one. Maybe study it hard, ask the company compliance folks, call the State Department if needed.
Get clarity.
Right. Then immediately update all sales materials, change how they talk to clients to meet the new disclosure requirements. Make sure clients get the non-guaranteed parts of illustrations.
And document everything.
Meticulously. Documenting that they followed the new rules for every client interaction.
So the takeaway isn't just follow rules to avoid fines. It's really about the client getting accurate info for big decisions.
Absolutely. Especially with something like life insurance illustrations, proper disclosure helps clients have realistic expectations. That builds satisfaction and trust long term.
What happens when agents don't follow the rules, ethically or legally? What are the consequences?
They can be pretty severe. Big fines, losing your license temporarily or permanently.
Ouch.
Civil lawsuits from clients who were harmed, massive damage to your professional reputation and the company's.
Anything else?
In really bad cases, like fraud, even criminal charges are possible.
Beyond the official penalties, are there other costs, more personal ones?
Definitely. An ethical breach just eats away at your professional integrity. Every choice you make either builds up or tears down that trust foundation your career relies on.
Breaking the promise.
Exactly. You promise to be a trustworthy guide, especially when clients need help. Violating ethics breaks that promise. That loss of integrity is huge.
Okay, shifting gears to chapter three. Sales ethics. Fighting the forces of high-pressure tactics. Sounds dramatic. Why is sales such an ethical hotspot?
Well, there's this natural tension, right? You want to make sales, earn commissions, that's business.
Sure.
But you also have this fundamental ethical duty to always put the client's best interest first. The temptation to push too hard or maybe stretch the truth about a benefit to close a deal,
mm-hmm.
It's there.
And doing that violates ethics and trust.
Fundamentally.
The source really hammers home needs-based selling. What does that actually mean in practice?
It's all about being client-centric. You focus deeply on understanding that specific client, their needs, their budget, their goals. Then, based on that deep dive, you recommend products that genuinely fit and provide the right protection, not just the ones with the biggest commission checks.
The source had that internal thought example.
Right. The agent wrestling with recommending a lower commission term policy because it's truly what the client needs right now versus a higher commission universal life policy. That mental debate is needs-based selling in action.
And full disclosure seems critical in sales too.
Oh, absolutely essential. Ethical sales means being totally upfront about everything. Benefits, yes, but also the limitations, the exclusions, the risks.
No sugarcoating.
Never. You can't misrepresent coverage or how a policy works. Transparency builds trust and lets the client make a truly informed choice.
What about making the actual recommendations? What's ethical there?
Recommendations have to be suitable, right? For their finances, their risk tolerance, their needs. You got to understand that before suggesting anything.
And no rushing them?
Never. Ethical agents respect the client's thinking time, give them info, let them mull it over, ask questions. No high pressure, buy now tactics.
The source mentioned an agent telling a client to take info home.
Yeah, that's a great example. Take this home, review it, call me with questions. that respects their autonomy.
What about being open about compensation? Commissions.
Yep. Transparency about how you get paid is part of it. Clients have a right to know. An ethical agent won't hide it. They'll explain the commission structure if asked. It avoids any feeling of hidden agendas.
Let's look at scenario three, the pressure vortex. What lines got crossed?
Okay, agent desperate needs to meet quota. Meets a 68-year-old on a fixed income just looking for car insurance.
Simple lead.
Right. But instead, agent desperate pushes hard for a big whole life policy the client likely can't afford.
Oh, no.
And uses a fake special rate expiring today line to create urgency. Pure pressure.
Wow. That takes a lot of unethical boxes.
Absolutely. Totally ignored the client's actual need and budget, prioritized their own sales goal, used manipulative tactics, recommended something unsuitable, just bad all around.
So agent integrity,
yeah.
The ethical counterpart, how would they handle that meeting?
Agent integrity focuses first on the stated need. The auto insurance. Discusses options, answers questions, make sure that's sorted.
Builds trust first.
Exactly. Then maybe gently asks about other needs, like final expenses, if it seems relevant, and always respecting the budget.
Low pressure.
Completely. Provide written info, clarify there's no fake expiring rate, maybe suggest a more affordable final expense policy if life insurance is actually a fit. Client's pace, client's needs.
It's interesting the source notes studies show needs-based selling leads to better policy persistency, clients keeping their policies longer.
It makes sense. Treat people right, sell them what they actually need. They're more likely to be satisfied and stick around. Good ethics is good business, long-term.
That's a powerful point. Finally, for sales ethics, product selection and policy replacements. Complex areas.
Definitely. Ethical product selection means considering the client's real risks, what they can truly afford long-term, if they understand it, if it's suitable, what other options exist.
Replacements, switching policies.
That needs extra care. Is the new policy clearly significantly better for the client? Do they understand downsides, new contestability periods, surrender fees on the old one, losing benefits, tax impacts?
The benefit has to be for the client, not just the agent's commission.
Unequivocally.
Ah.
Replacements driven mainly by commission are a major ethical red flag.
Moving to chapter four, marketing ethics. Battling misleading claims. Why is ethical marketing so crucial here?
Because marketing is often the first impression, right? That first touch point, if it's misleading or hyped up.
It poisons the well immediately.
Exactly. It erodes trust, not just in that one agent or company, but potentially the whole industry. Mm-hmm. People might buy stuff they don't need or that won't perform as expected. Especially now, online, bad info spreads fast. Truthful marketing is vital.
So what are the core principles for ethical marketing in insurance?
Starts with truthfulness. No false or deceptive statements about products, services, competitors. Simple as that.
Clear language, too.
Yes. Avoid jargon that confuses people. Use plain language. The source had that example of a marketer choosing clearer words over technical terms for premiums, making it understandable.
And presenting a balanced picture.
Crucial. Show the benefits, sure, but also clearly state the limitations, exclusions, the potential downsides. Don't just highlight the shiny parts.
What about targeting audiences?
Yeah, ethical targeting avoids pushing unsuitable or unaffordable products onto vulnerable groups. That's a big ethical concern.
And compliance, of course.
Yeah.
Following the advertising rules.
Always. State and federal regs are non-negotiable. Required disclosures, accurate policy terms, getting materials approved if necessary.
And being honest about credentials.
Absolutely. Only claim designations you've actually earned and kept up through education and ethical conduct. No puffery.
Social media adds another layer, doesn't it? With the ethics there.
Big time. Record keeping of communications is important. Using genuine testimonials only, with proper disclosures. Responding professionally. Following state and company rules for online activity.
The source had an example of getting permission before sharing a claim story.
Right. Getting explicit consent and making sure it complies with all rules before posting anything client specific. Very important.
Okay. Scenario four. The misleading meme. What was the unethical tactic?
Agent Clickbait made a social media post claiming some fake government program offered $15,000 for final expenses. Total lie.
Just to get clicks.
Yep. Used a flashy headline, told seniors to click to qualify. The link just went to a lead form for the agent to sell a normal policy. Deceptive bait and switch.
That sounds incredibly damaging to trust.
Deeply unethical. False claims, manipulative tactics, unprofessional, and almost certainly broke multiple advertising laws. Terrible.
How would agent authenticity market ethically?
Agent authenticity uses honest marketing. accurately describes real products for final expense planning, highlights genuine benefits, targets appropriately without misleading claims, includes all required disclosures, documents everything.
Like the example, concerned about final costs, learn how affordable life insurance can help.
Exactly. Straightforward, honest, focuses on real solutions.
The source really stresses how misleading marketing hurts everyone, the whole industry's reputation.
It's true. One bad actor can make everyone look untrustworthy. Honest marketing might not get the same instant clicks, maybe, but it builds lasting relationships. That's the only sustainable way.
What about seminars and lead generation? Ethical points there.
For seminars, be upfront. It's a marketing event. Provide real educational value, not just a sales pitch. No high pressure. Include all disclaimers. Follow rules on meals or incentives.
Like the intro. Today we'll cover X and I'll briefly mention services later. No obligation.
Perfect example for leads. Get proper consent to contact people. Be honest how you got their info. Honor opt-outs immediately. Keep data secure. Use permitted contact methods only.
Okay, last chapter, chapter 5. Client service ethics. The job isn't done after the sale. Why is ongoing ethical service so important?
Because insurance is an ongoing relationship. It's built on that promise of future protection. Clients rely on agents later when life changes, when they have questions, and especially at claim time. Ethical, responsive service maintains that trust, reinforces their decision, shows you're committed to their well-being long-term.
What are the key ethical service practices highlighted?
Being responsive, getting back to people quickly, ongoing education, keeping them informed about changes, regular policy reviews, making sure coverage still fits.
Claims advocacy too.
Definitely. Yeah. Helping them navigate the claims process fairly, maintaining strict confidentiality always, and just being accessible, easy to reach when needed.
That internal thought about the agent responding to the house fire on a Saturday night.
Yeah, that shows the level of commitment. Being there when clients are in crisis is a profound ethical duty.
Let's look at scenario 5, the vanishing agent. What went wrong?
Agent Ghostly sold a family a policy package, made the sale, got the commission.
That didn't disappear.
Pretty much. Became unresponsive. Clients had questions later, couldn't get answers. Then they had a claim, felt totally abandoned, unsure what to do, how their policy worked, caused huge stress and delays.
That's awful. A clear ethical failure.
Absolutely. Failed to communicate, failed the ongoing service obligation, left clients high and dry when they needed help most. Unacceptable.
And agent reliability, the ethical one. How do they approach service?
Agent reliability sets clear service expectations from day one. Communicates proactively, schedules regular reviews, maybe sends birthday notes or updates.
Stays in touch.
Right. Make sure clients know how to reach them, what the claims process is, has systems for follow-up, and is especially responsive and supportive during a claim, acting as an advocate.
And again, the source mentions studies. Regular service contact boosts retention, leads to more business, referrals.
It all connects. Ethical service builds loyalty and trust, which leads to a healthier, more sustainable business. It's the right thing to do, and it works.
Lastly, for service, ethics in claims handling and documentation.
For claims, respond promptly, give clear info, advocate fairly for legit claims, represent coverage honestly, follow up on satisfaction. For documentation, keep accurate, complete records. Store data securely. Document disclosures. Fill out applications fully and honestly, no leaving stuff out. Keep good notes for service continuity.
Like the agent insisting on disclosing the health condition, even if it meant a higher premium.
Exactly. Ensuring the policy is valid and will actually pay out when needed is the ultimate ethical goal there, protecting the client long term.
So wrapping up this whole deep dive on insurance ethics, what's the absolute core takeaway for you, for our listener?
I think it's that ethical conduct isn't optional. It's the absolute foundation. It's what makes the industry trustworthy, what ensures it actually protects people's financial well-being. These aren't just nice ideas. They have huge real-world impact.
Was there one detail or contrast that really stood out during our discussion?
For me, yeah, that invisible exclusion scenario. The difference between agent clarity just glossing over the flood risk to make a sale versus agent transparency being upfront, even recommending more coverage the client needed. That stark contrast really shows the difference between self-interest and genuine client care.
Yeah, that was powerful. And the data on needs-based selling boosting persistency ethics pays off.
Right. It shows doing the right thing aligns with long-term success.
So understanding these principles gives you, the listener, real insight into how insurance pros should act and what standards you deserve. It makes you a more empowered consumer.
Definitely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with, think about trust. How vital it is in anything involving finance or personal security. How does understanding these insurance ethics shape your view of the industry's role? And maybe, what questions does it raise for you about ethics in other fields that handle your data and big financial decisions?
Good questions to ponder. A lot to think about beyond just insurance.
It all interconnects, doesn't it? Trust and ethics, they're universal.